141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards another big weekend in Scottish football. Rangers will be first up when it comes around as they look to build on their lead at the top. Joe Hart announced he is retiring at the end of the season, and Motherwell apologised for failing to announce that Stuart Kettlewell had triggered a contract extension months ago. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, two men who are always the last to know anything, it's Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, a big weekend ahead, some good fixtures to look forward to. It's been a long time since I've sat here and Rangers have been top of the league with the same amount of games played, and this is where it really gets down to the crunch. Rangers at home to Hearts, and that's going to be a tough game for the Ibrox side, but then Celtic away to Motherwell. Two tough fixtures for Rangers and Celtic to negotiate with a whole load of pressure on their shoulders. And you rightly mentioned there, Joe Hart announces his retirement. Some Celtic fans might have seen that coming, some might be grateful, but you've got to say in recent weeks, Joe Hart's probably kept Celtic in games at times, so he shows he's still got quality. That's going to be a big job for the recruitment team this summer to replace him.
Well, Celtic fans have been on this show crying out for, you know, another goalkeeper, and they're certainly going to get that in the summer when Joe Hart steps down. But looking forward to this weekend, Gordon, I look at that fixture list. There's some terrific games. I think Rangers Hearts, a Hearts form, a Hearts team banging form against a Rangers side top of league, want to put real pressure on Celtic going to Fir Park on Sunday. And then if you look right down the very bottom, Ross County v Livingston. What a six-pointer that's going to be.
0141 951 1025. It has been wall to wall, start to finish calls about the title race this week. It was that big a weekend. It has gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you all seem very interested in having your say. You're more than welcome to keep going, but some very interesting news stories today, as we've alluded to already. Celtic fans, Joe Hart has announced he will retire at the end of the season. What did you make of that when you heard that news? How would you sum up his time at Celtic? How good a signing has he been? It's very early, but if you want to chuck some names in at who his replacement should be, that's absolutely fine. How do you think it will play out between now and the end of the season? All of the above questions linked to that big news today that Joe Hart will retire at the end of the season. I think clearly it did come out of the blue to an extent. Obviously he's getting to that stage of his career, but to sort of pick today, make the big announcement, have it confirmed way in advance of the end of the season, what did you make of it? 0141 951 1025. Nothing specific coming out of your club today, Rangers fans, but you're still flying high after the weekend, and I know lots of you want to have your say on where things are going right and maybe start looking ahead to the weekend as well. And you Motherwell fans, I'm interested in this. Motherwell say they knew that Stuart Kettlewell's contract ended next season, and he knew, presumably, that his contract ended at the end of next season, but you didn't. You all thought his contract was up at the end of this campaign. A communication error, by all accounts. So if you've got any thoughts there, because I kind of feel like we've seen it all in Scottish football, but I'm not sure we've had the discussion around the manager whose contract's actually longer than everyone thought it was. 0141 951 1025. Did they get you into broker that or something? Sounds like the sort of chaos you've come up with.
It's a strange one.
Strange, all right.
I could not believe when I read it today. How they've missed that, obviously, EGM last night.
Well, that's when I started getting texts during the AGM going,
And if you're a fan, get along there. Look, at the end of the day, I've seen these contracts before that, you know, there's a rolling contract, there's another year in if you achieve. But usually your supporters who put all the money into the club usually know about it, know about the situation. If he doesn't, the problem he's got is the fact that it's worked well for Stuart Kettlewell. Because if things don't go right, and the forum, as much as everybody's saying, well, there's a plus there because they've been drawing, but they're not winning games, right? They could easily get themselves into trouble because they've got Celtic, they've got some difficult games coming up, they get Celtic at the weekend. And you just wonder, if it doesn't go well from now to the end of the season, is that another blow for Motherwell if they're going to replace him? Because it's got to cost them more money. I think Motherwell spent quite a few quid now in replacing managers, coaching staff and whatever. So the people above must take a bit part of the blame for that, Gordon. But if you're a Motherwell fan out there, you're just wanting, you know, you're wanting a bit of information, what is happening inside your club. And it's as easy to turn around and say, your manager's contract is from X to Y. Simple as that. I don't know where the problem is.
0141 951 1025. An interesting one for us later on, perhaps. I think Joe Hart's retirement seems an obvious place to start. I'm looking at the calls coming in already, so let's dive in there. 0141 951 1025. Ross is a Celtic fan. What did you make of the news today, Ross?
Hi, Gordon. Mark Gordon, hope you're all well.
Good, thanks.
In terms of the news, Gordon, a bit taken back really that he's decided to call time. I think it's a good thing that he's come out early doors with it, and it's not something that's lingering on, and now gives Celtic the opportunity to start getting the plans in place for a replacement. So I think just what Mark said there, the last few weeks Joe Hart has actually been probably the guy that's kind of kept us in matches. So for him to come out and say that he's thinking about retiring now, I don't know if it's personal or if it's just the way he is in terms of his age. But I wish him all the best, and I do think that the replacement for him should be, I think, Kelly Roos at Aberdeen. I think he could be an ideal guy to come in and replace Joe Hart.
See, football doesn't stand still for long. Guys, not even gone yet, we're lining up replacements, but that is part of it. Mark, we naturally are interested in the specifics of Celtic, because you know that's our currency. But just before we even get to that, it's a heck of a career, isn't it? You know, when you look back, you know, we go week to week here, and did he make a mistake there? Did he make a mistake? 75 England caps, I think it's 2 Premier League titles, won obviously everything he could win when he came up here. Just that's an unbelievable CV when you look back on it all, isn't it?
It's quite staggering. You look at the amount of major tournaments he played with England. As well, he came to Scotland, obviously a big star, big reputation, but he goes away at the minute winning 5 out of 6 trophies. And did he have flaws? Of course he had flaws. You know, everybody could point to him with the ball at his feet that the new modern day goalkeeper has to be so good with. Joe Hart's certainly not that. Maybe culpable with crosses a few times, maybe that's not his strong point, but he's definitely a good goalkeeper, definitely a good shot stopper. I think his communication with the back line gets overlooked a lot, because you only have to go back to what was before Joe Hart, and it was an absolute shambles. Celtic had a goalkeeper that couldn't save the ball with his hands, he couldn't play with his feet, he didn't communicate, and they found themselves in just a whole load of problems. Joe Hart came in, steadied the ship, and he's had a remarkable career. But like you say, or like Ross is saying there as well, the recruitment team know where they stand at the minute, and probably I would suspect have known, not just today. I don't think Joe Hart's went in today and then decided to tell the press today. They would have known for a wee bit, so they need to get a work underway soon.
Ross has seen, he quite likes the fact that he's made this announcement. Gordon, what do you make of the timing? It's his decision. He can announce it whenever he likes. Some goalies, obviously, or some players would just wait till the season ends and it comes to like a natural conclusion. Over at Rangers, we thought Alan McGregor was hanging up the gloves, and he kept going for another season. Do you read much into the decision to announce it February?
I think when he sits down with his family and discusses it, and it may be a personal thing that he wants to move back down south and go on with his life, because you're right, he's had a fantastic career, played abroad as well in Italy. So he's been about, he's played a lot of football, he's obviously enjoyed his time in Scotland, but I think it's quite right to come out, because let's face it, he's got to tell one or two people, and you know what like it is, you can't keep a secret nowadays. So that's got to go. So he may as well be the guy that dictates when that news comes out to the Celtic fans, and I think he's quite right doing it. I don't think it'll affect him from now to the end of the season, not at all. I think it'll make him more sort of determined to go and say, right, okay, we'll need to try and win this. I want to leave in such a high. So I think I think every Celtic fan will appreciate it. Has he got his flaws? Yes, he has. Has he been a good signing for Celtic? I think he's been a terrific signing for Celtic.
See, before we get to the name, Ross, that you've thrown in, how do you look back in terms of how good a signing it was? Because, you know, we're not going to pretend and do that thing because he's retiring and it's all positive. We have had a lot of negativity about Joe Hart in recent times, but overall, as the guys have said, was he a good signing?
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. I think he's probably one of the, I wouldn't say the best goalie, because I don't want to go against Big Arthur. But I think he was up there. He is a good goalkeeper, and as Martin Gardner said, his career at Man City and Tottenham and Italy as well, in England cap. So he is a good goalkeeper, and I think it will only be after Joe Hart leaves that we realise how important Joe Hart really was to Celtic.
But is there a hidden side, Mark? You know, having been there, is there a hidden side that people kind of say, but us, we'll never actually know about, you know, like influence in the dressing room, kind of popularity amongst the players' experience. We throw those words out there, but with the best will in the world, we'll never really know what impact that has.
Well, like you can see when Cal McGregor's not playing, I think Carter Vickar, he takes armband, doesn't he? He's been Celtic captain a number of times, and that shows the influence he has. But of course, that comes with the experience he has. I think communication is huge for a goalkeeper. And you only have to look at Joe Hart throughout 90 minutes in a game to see him constantly talking to his back line. Even the way that Ange Postecoglou adapted to play, he was quick at getting the ball back into play, and still he's taking that up just now under Brendan Rodgers. It's everything else that's probably slowed down a bit. But he's one that's always on the front foot as a goalkeeper. And yes, he's not been the greatest. There has been errors in there, but you only have to look at the mess before he came. And even you look at the other side, Rangers, how difficult or how prolonged that was to get a replacement. And they got it right with Jack Butland. But it's such an important position, and Joe Hart's filled it well for 2.5 years.
Ross Killerus, why is he your suggestion?
I just think when you look at him, again, with Aberdeen in the league, I just think the games that I've seen him play this season, and last season, I just think he is a really, really good goalkeeper, and I think he's a commanding goalkeeper as well, and I think he would definitely suit Celtic style. So he's one that I definitely would like to see Celtic pursue.
I'd maybe bow to the Aberdeen fans' superior knowledge here. My gut from afar would be that he was better last season than he has been this season. That's not to hold that against him too much. It's very much in like the Benjamin Sigrist mould, isn't it? I'm not saying you can't ever sign another goalie from this league because it hasn't worked out with Benjamin Sigrist, but it's the exact same profile.
First thought that came into my head when he mentioned, I thought about Sigrist, because when he was at Dundee United, if I was telling Celtic or Rangers to go and sign a goalkeeper, you'd point at him, because he was absolutely brilliant. But obviously,
so there must be more to that than purely performance.
Yeah, related. Well, we don't know, but it's not kicked off for him. Killerus, you're right. I think he had a better season last season. Aberdeen have conceded, 41 goals or something in this season. I don't think Celtic, I think Celtic will already be, you know, moving about, looking at goalkeepers. They'll have maybe, you know, a short list there already, monitoring what's going to, because obviously Joe Hart, this is not just news to Celtic today. Celtic have probably known this behind the scenes for, you know, a couple of weeks or whatever it may be. So they should already be on the front foot, you know, narrowing that down to see who's available and what's the best available to go and get in the summer.
It's a hard one to get. If Celtic recruitment team thought they were under pressure with left back and strikers and midfielders, they've probably got the biggest of them all, because goalkeeper just sets the tone for your team. If you've not got a solid goalkeeper behind your back four, then the rest falls down. And again, go back to the COVID season when Celtic were changing goalies every other week because they couldn't trust any of them.
And obviously there was a good fee, Barkas was a good age, he had a good profile, came from a good level. You can see why that Celtic thought that would tick a number of boxes. What about Kelleher's?
Just didn't have good hands.
Ross's, well, that's quite an issue. What about Ross's suggestion, Kelleher's?
I'm not so sure Celtic will go down that route. I think even just looking at the two signings of Joe Hart and Jack Butland.
See, another one of those. Who's next in line?
Save your Celtic, really, and I hope the Celtic fans don't take this as a slag in them, but if you're Celtic, you would nip over to Rangers, have a wee look in their drawer and see the list of goalkeepers they've got, because the one thing you've got to say about Rangers, they can pick a goalkeeper, can't they? You look throughout the years at Rangers, goalkeepers have been excellent, and Mark touches on it. Celtic have dipped into that goalkeeping with, you know, Baines come in, Barkas has come in,
Hazard,
DeVries has come in, you know, and then Joe Hart come in and still come under a wee bit of criticism. I think it's a big call for Celtic recruitment at the summer to go and get somebody really top quality.
Entirely unsurprising to hear Gordon Dale suggest going snooping about other people's drawers, but there you are. Thanks to Ross and Pollock on 01419511025. What do you think, Celtic fans? How good a signing was Joe Hart? What has he brought to the team? What do you make of his announcement to depart and retire? And if you want to go as far as naming a suggestion for who should replace him, we're here for that as well. Give us a call.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Apologies to anyone who's watching in the live stream and saw Gordon Dale act out some sort of medical procedure they had previously had.
Didn't it sound a good one?
Just as we came out,
tell you that
the hand gestures were not working. People are having their dinner.
I'm all better now.
Anyway, 01419511025. Craig is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Craig?
Not bad. I know how's things there.
Yeah, all good. Joe Hart's announced his retirement. What did you make of that?
I just feel it's a total reaction to what's happened in the last 6 or 7 weeks. I think Joe Hart would even consider retirement for a goalkeeper at his age if things were going well. And you know, it's just a reflection of the way things are at the minute at Celtic. It's just all seems to be going wrong at the minute.
It's an interesting theory, because only Joe Hart would know. He's 36. He's entitled to retire, but I can almost sense Craig coming back with that's quite young for a goalie.
Well, as in relative terms, it is. However, Joe Hart's almost played 700 games. You don't really know the toll that takes on your body. Joe Hart could be playing at the minute with something that's bothering him, might be getting progressively worse, and he knows it's going to come to a head, and he can't perform to his highest level with this. So you just don't know. But I get from Joe Hart that he's the type of character that enjoys a challenge, though. You know, he's been through a lot in his career. He's had a lot of stick throughout his career, but he's always seemed to bounce back. So I don't think he would be taking this decision lightly. And I know 36 people think goalkeepers should play to 40, but you just don't know the medical capabilities of them.
On top of that, remember, footballers, believe it or not, have got a family life, and most of them, and they're human. You know, he's from England. He may, you know, have a wife, a family up here, circumstances. He's looked at the fact that how old he is and the career he's had. He's got an opportunity to go out on a high, and decides, look, we need to go back down the road for whatever reasons. You don't know, Gordon. Everybody assumes right away it's a football and decision. It might be football and family related together to say, right, okay, I've had a good innings. It's now time to go and spend some time with my wife, my family, whatever it may be.
You're not buying that, Craig. You think that all of that would have come secondary to a new deal had Celtic been flying and Joe Hart been flying?
I do. Yeah, Gordon, I do. I think if he performed better in the Champions League and you know things were going better in the league, you know, new signs had come in January, I think the enthusiasm would have been there. I just feel it's the kind of 10 in a row season all over again when you know we lost, I don't know, 8 or 9 players. I know a lot of them were out of contract at the time, but I just feel that's kind of repeating itself, and it's a no coincidence. And I know what Gordon's saying about him being a family man, and I get that, but you know, he's 36 years old. He's got a long life in front of him, hopefully, and you know, another year or two in a team flying like Celtic, then he would have taken it.
Oh, by the way, a lot of Celtic fans, Craig, would have thanked you for Joe Hart, you know, calling it a day. We've had numerous calls on here this season alone saying that Celtic need a new goalkeeper. Even prior to summer, you know, off the back of a treble, that was probably one of the priority positions that Celtic fans were coming on and saying we need a new goalie, definitely, if we're going to make any way in this Champions League. So maybe Joe Hart agrees, maybe Joe Hart just thinks my body isn't up to the test. If Celtic win this league, which I'm pretty sure he'll do his utmost to retain the title, that I'm just not up to performing the Champions League to the level I want.
So would you have given him a new deal then, Craig? You think he's done enough that you wanted to keep him? You almost sound disappointed by it. Forgive me if I've picked you up wrong.
No, it's not so much that I would have given him a new deal. I think it's more his attitude towards it that I think that even if failed, I mean, he's a decent goalkeeper. I mean, he is. I know he's had his you know, poor performances here and there, but overall he's been a great signing for Celtic, and I think not even just
to even sit around the table with the board and you know, even negotiate something is surprising. Maybe it has happened, I don't know, but for him to say that he's retiring, I think it just thinks of a reflection of the way things are. And I'll go back to, and I've tried to phone him on Monday about the 2nd of January. If we hadn't beaten them on the 2nd of January, and let's say Rangers had won that match, I think it would have gone to about 2 points with them, two games in hand, there would have been a reaction from the board. There would have been a reaction from the board. And, you know, I just think it was the worst thing we did was win that New Year game, because it papered over the cracks, basically, in my opinion.
I've heard that a bit. I've no idea. Again, we're all speculating, but I think I've heard a few Celtic fans sort of float to the idea that, you know, Rangers won that, the January window might have had a bit more of a... Mm-hmm. an urgency about it.
I know it's difficult to hear, but it's only my opinion. I think that behind the scenes, the Celtic board must have had more targets. They must have had more dialogue with agents and players. They couldn't get them over the line. Sometimes a transfer, you go out there with the best will and think, right, okay, that's the player I want. I want him in here. He's going to add quality to my team. And all of a sudden it falls down. We don't hear about it. I don't think Celtic in the January transfer window decided just go, right, I'll tell you what, we're going to bring in a winger we've got an abundance of, and we're going to bring in Ida from Norwich, who's third choice striker, and that'll do us. I don't believe that for a minute. I think Celtic must have been working. The problem is they couldn't get the deals over a line for me.
We're now a bit down, you know, we're thinking into the future. Does all of this, Craig, worry you a bit then that, you know, can the current recruitment set up, can it get the next goalkeeper right?
Well, I think their past record shows for itself. You know, what we've done recently, I mean, it just seem to be, it's a scattergun of just bringing in players, hoping, you know, that they'll come good. And at the end of the day, you can only put 11 players on the pitch, and there's the squad needs thinning down. It's just bloated at the minute. Aye, a goalkeeper, I think they've got to go down the English route to find a number two at a decent club. I can't name one off the top of my head, but certainly there's decent goalkeepers on big, I know they're on big wages as well, but there are good goalkeepers that obviously don't play every week for, not top, you know, top six English teams, but maybe the ones, you know, kind of lower league in the Premier League, top championship teams. There must be ones out there, and I hope they can get a half-decent one.
Yeah, Mark, this is going to be constant, I think, from now until... then, you know, whether Celtic, you know, whether speculation starts to build up, or, you know, a bit of attention Celtic linked with anyone, whether it just goes all quiet to the summer. But that's going to be it now, isn't it? Because as you say, and I know we're really stating the obvious here, it's not like, oh, you can carry a few wingers and then get the right combination of them. Mm-hmm. Celtic, for a couple of reasons, firstly, it's important to any team. Secondly, they've not had a brilliant recent recruitment record with goalkeepers prior to Joe Hart. And thirdly, which is unavoidable in Glasgow, Rangers have got theirs bang on by the looks of it.
Yeah, well, why that signing was so good, you look at Butland, he had something to prove. He had a lengthy, you know, layoff with injuries over previous clubs, but he was still looking to get back into that international fold, and he's came here and proved that Celtic needs similar. So I would agree with Craig in terms of going down that route down south. Your number one, you know, so important, not only to the starting 11, but also carries your number two and number three goalies as well. There's someone to look up to and aspire to be like. I know Celtic brought in Seagrass, who's of an age as well, but they would have looked up to Joe Hart, and so would Bain, and try to replicate him as well. So he's the leader of that small group within your dressing room.
It doesn't have to happen this way, as we've just covered a couple of those examples. It's not always possible. It doesn't have to, but I've seen some people on social media today saying they would have quite liked to have the next guy in the building by now. You know, to sort of be learning from Joe Hart and then step into those boots or gloves.
No, I don't think that's necessary. I think Celtic will go with, you know, try and get a tried and tested goalkeeper, and they're not going to go with someone that needs to come in and serve his apprenticeship under Joe Hart. And you look at it as well, Joe Hart might be looking at the end of the season, probably in his head, knows that Celtic, because of the reaction of the fans, especially in the January window, about the recruitment of a new goalkeeper to push Joe Hart. Joe Hart's not going to sit up here with the career he's had and play number two as well. That might come into his thinking. You just don't know. We don't know the reasons why he's decided this is the season he's got to call it quits. But I don't think it's necessary to bring someone into the building now. If you get your transfer done early in the summer, you've got the full summer, you've got the trips, you've got the pre-season games, you've got the preparation to work on for the start of the new season. Goalkeepers can fit in very quickly.
Yeah, we'll speak to Brendan Rodgers, I guess, tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see what the time frame has looked like, if he discloses it exactly. You know, when was the decision made? How long's the process been? Let's bring in Paul. Thanks to Craig, by the way. Let's bring in Paul. What are you thinking, Paul? How do you look back on Joe Hart's career at Celtic, and what's next?
Next, I think, forget about the past, the boy Kelleher for Liverpool. I think he's about the second or third choice keeper, isn't he?
Yep.
The games, I think he was three or four games when Alisson was injured.
Mm-hmm.
I think that other guy is Adrian.
Yep.
I think he's still there as well, I think.
Yeah, I've seen, I think that actually was doing the rounds last week. And Kelleher's played 16 times actually for Liverpool this season, albeit across a couple of competitions. What's he got, about 10, 11 Republic of Ireland caps as well, Mark? Possibly at that stage, well, definitely at 25, having to decide, is he going to be Liverpool's number one? Probably not.
Yeah.
And therefore, what's next?
Well, you wonder what the deal would look like if it was Kelleher. I mean, would it be similar to what Fraser Foster did? You know, would, I know 25, you think, oh, that's a fair age for a player, but goalkeepers are still relatively young-ish. Oh, yeah. Foster came up here on loan, proved himself, signed, and then went on to other things, had a great career. It wouldn't be a bad thing. And if he's been tried and tested in the toughest environment, which is the English Premier League, with the quality faces, then you think it might be a good fit. But it's going to be a difficult one, because for every plus that you give, you know, goalkeepers that we've seen, you know, there might just be one out there, yeah, that we've never heard of. I mean, I don't think many people would have
where
heard
would,
of
Boric. Where would you look if you're a Celtic fan, if in England?
Well,
where I'd look right away?
Where?
Tottenham. Big Angel, help them out.
Just sort them out.
Oh, Big Angel.
Fraser Foster's the backup keeper. Oh, is he the backup?
They must have a third or a decent keeper there. But listen, you can get around the circles, you can throw 100 names of it. Yeah, look, we've not even touched the foreign goalkeepers either. They might look in that direction. But what I will say is, now that they know they've got plenty of time, there'll be no excuses to get this done quickly.
You know what's a big factor in it as well? The manager. The manager, who's the manager going to be? Brendan Rodgers, remember, a couple of years ago, was it De Vries he brought in? Because he wanted to play up through the back, and he didn't last very long.
Because, wasn't he good, was he?
Well, just purely because he was a bit like Barkas. You know, when it came to saving the ball.
Ah, you need to be able to do that, don't
they? Describe Barkas again. Can he save it? Can he kick it? He can he communicate? But I tell you what, he's got something like
Paul, I know you said you wanted to look forward, but how would you sum up Joe Hart as a Celtic signing? Pleased with his contribution?
Keeper. Won a few trophies where I'm being there. Well, I was one, I think, really hit me. So, I think he's been all right. It was a hit and a miss with a ball at his feet. Obviously, Mary kind of tries to kick it. He's better just get ready straight away.
Yeah, I suppose that'll be part of it as well, you know, and tactics, that sort of thing. Stephen says, Joe Hart was a fantastic signing. Angie's tactics with his playing out quick from the back, I believe we've had the best out of him at this point in his career, but I wonder if we could have got a young keeper in earlier to learn from a guy with his experience. Thanks to Paul. What about Thomas in East Kilbride? Thomas, what do you make of that Joe Hart announcement today?
Well, I was very shocked to hear it. We sadly missed it just... A great keeper for Celtic, and what he's done for Celtic has been tremendous. Yeah. Like,
were you surprised to hear it? I mean, I feel like I was, but then when you take a step back, like, why? He was out of contract at the end of the season, he's 36.
Yeah.
Don't know why I was surprised, but it was the classic.
I'll tell you what.
Seeing the yellow ticker came along, I thought,
no,
really?
I'm surprised that he said he's going
announced
to retire,
it.
Right? I thought he maybe... I'm not surprised that he's leaving Celtic. I thought he'd have left Celtic in the summer, right?
Where'd you go after that, though?
Well, Joe Hart easily can get down...
Doncaster City.
Yeah, with Big Charlie. Take him down there.
Somebody's bitter that they didn't get the phone call at the weekend.
Joe Hart can certainly get down to England and pick up a club, right? I'm not talking about Premier League. I'm talking about maybe lower championship, whatever. He can still play for another couple of years if he wanted. But the surprise is, right, flip this. See if Joe Hart, Celtic announced today that Joe Hart had signed a new 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. I think we'd get Celtic fans on
complaining about
going off ahead. Yeah.
The timing is a bit strange. 12 games to go. One way you look at it, he's gave plenty of preparation time. The other, has it been disruptive? Any wee mistake that maybe happens between now?
He's not in it anymore.
He's not in it. He's thinking of the summer.
Early retirement.
So, by the way, it's
you've already said that.
That's the way. But that's the way
Mark's
people
right,
think.
Mark's right.
You know, so I thought the timing of it was curious, but I don't think Brendan Rodgers would have found it today. I'm pretty certain that Brendan Rodgers, he seems the type of manager to have sat down with Joe Hart, potentially try to speak him out of it, because football is a short career. But if his heart was set in it, then there's not much he can do to a player.
Fancy Celtic to bounce back this weekend with Joe Hart in goal, Thomas?
That's what I'm saying to your colleague before I get through. If Celtic lose this game with Motherwell, or they're just putting the ball right in Rangers' court, and they're just bouncing it back to Rangers. And if Celtic can't drop any more points, I know Rangers are 2 now, but if Celtic drop any more, they're just...
Yeah, it's going to be a huge weekend. Rangers play first as well, yeah. So we do that psychology bit as well as the arithmetic.
I'm going to disagree. Thomas, the ball is in Rangers court. Celtic have got to jump over that big net and get it back. And it's a big weekend because Rangers, for me, I think...
I'm struggling with the analogy now. We're just like two separate courts.
Yeah, jump over and get it.
Just like a tennis net, right? Yeah, is it a tennis net?
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Or badminton if you're a big jumper. You look at Rangers next.
Going to be a ball though then with it.
Exactly.
A shuttlecock,
right. The next two games for Rangers, probably I think for your Rangers fan, you're thinking, well, these are toughies, right? Mm-hmm. Hearts, I fancy Rangers, I've got to say, but I think it'll be a difficult game. Hearts are in good form. Kilmarnock away, nobody likes going there. So Sunday will be a big game for Motherwell.
Thank you very much,
Celtic,
to Thomas.
Sorry.
Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One.
We've had 4 rollovers in a row.
Incredible.
And make me a winner. Honestly.
Heard somebody answer the hello.
Well, that's
I know.
Exactly. That's what they did. Yeah, the last caller just said hello, which means your chance. You could benefit from that person's mistake. You could be the winner of £140,000 tomorrow. You do need to be in that draw. I know that sounds obvious, but don't let it pass you by. Text yes to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the entries since ALPA won last Friday have rolled over. All the other rules for this network competition can be found online, so check them out if you feel the need. But the important bit, if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, that's step 1, and say, make me a winner straight away to win £140,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. 0141 951 1025. We've been talking Joe Hart. If you want to move it on to something else, back to the title race, an early look ahead to the weekend's action, maybe you Motherwell fans who found out today that Stuart Kettlewell's contract actually is up at the end of next season, much to your surprise, give us your thoughts, please. On Twitter as well, Michael Steele, what do the guys think of Angus Gunn replacing Joe Hart next season? Did say we were at that stage. You can just chuck in any name you like without.
He's shown up okay for Scotland, didn't he? So far, looks a safe pair of hands. Physical,
a good Euros.
Well, yeah. If there's a good Euros, then I don't see it happening, because the asking price will go right up. Depends how much Celtic want to pay.
He's got a couple of years left on his Norwich contract. I think I looked at that earlier.
I can't see Celtic paying maybe it's £5 or £6 million for a goalkeeper, not after the Barkas debacle. So I think it'll be around about.
I think I'd put them off, Mark.
100%.
I don't get that though. What do you
one
mean,
bad
you make
signing,
one mistake, or you make
four
eight,
and a half?
So
million.
They're never going to sign 2 centre halves at £4 million.
No, they probably
will. Yeah, that
will,
can't be the way to go about it.
Well, they might change our recruitment team, or whoever selects that part of it, you know, or how they did things with that, because for £4.5 million, nothing was right with Barkas when he came to the club. And it sounds like I'm anti-Barkas
it
here.
It really does, yeah.
It does, I know. He's probably a lovely guy, but
his agent.
just he's not lovely in the goalkeeping mode. But I just kind of see Celtic paying that amount of money for a goalkeeper. I mean, they're not paying that for a left back or an outfield player. They very rarely splash, or you'll see your club splash big money. So I think it'll go down the loan route for a year, or they'll go down to 2 or 3 million.
Okay, thank you very much for your thoughts there on Twitter. Andy's a Rangers fan. I'm assuming you're still feeling good a few days on from the weekend, Andy.
Hi, how you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'm over the moon. Listen, it's great to be top of the league in such a kind of short time, but I was saying to you, I said that Philip, come on, it's class. See the way he talks and he plays the team, and they're buying right into the way, you know, you get somebody to play. And I'm really delighted with the team now. I know we didn't get an out striker, but I just see right now, I think we'll get goals all over this team, but we just need to start taking the chances. Look at, was it St Johnson game with 23? I mean, there's going to be somebody who's going to get a right down off us shortly.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say there's anything missing from Rangers when they've clawed back 7-point deficit and gone top. Maybe the next step is that, just that the scoreline reflects the dominance in some of those games. I mean, you watched the Ross County game.
There was, yeah, goalkeeper was sensational.
Stats, about the number of shots and goal and so on. Maybe that is the next small step.
I wouldn't be too concerned with that, right? I know what they're saying, because you look at the Ross County domination, but take that aside, there's not a lot of games you look at Rangers and you think, oh, they're got to win 4-0 here, 5-0 this afternoon. Right, they're bang in form, they've got to score so many goals. The important thing for this Rangers team is they went to a difficult, and I know St John's are right down the bottom of the league, but they went to a difficult venue on Sunday. The pitch isn't that great. They know how to win football games. Defensively, they're absolutely brilliant away from home. They hardly lose goals. They're terrific. And for the middle of the park and the forwards to say, right, okay, we'll go and do our job, because the back four and the goalkeeper will probably keep us a clean sheet. It's got to be very difficult to score against. So I just think the way Rangers are structured, the way that he can make the changes, it's not affecting the team. So I'm not getting caught up in, oh, they've got to give some team are doing or whatever. They might do, but now they're known how to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1s, 3-1s, whatever. That's good enough for them at the top of the league. If they keep doing that, they're going to be successful at the end of the season.
Yeah, I have to agree. A lot's looking good at Rangers at the minute. I think Clement will be happy with the amount of chances they're creating, because that was a problem for Rangers. You know, it was turgid stuff, not a lot of clear-cut opportunities were created, and they gave up a lot of chances, which they rightly got punished under Michael Beale at the beginning of the season. But Clement, they're a tight unit. You know, Daz is right. They've only lost 13 goals this season. It's a good trait to have. But when you've got guys at the top end of the pitch that can, you know, convert those chances, then, of course, you're going to be right there and thereabouts for the title come May.
How high are your, not your hopes, because that's obvious, but your expectations, Andy, that Rangers do kick on from here?
I really do, and I'm saying the producer, last time was Ibrox, was Tuesday, before that was 2 years, but the atmosphere at Ibrox is absolutely, it was like a European game, it was amazing. I couldn't believe how the fans are absolutely amazing right now, and they're helping the team on, so right now I'm confident, but massive game against Hearts, it's going to be a thing that's going to be a hard one. I think there'll be a few goals in that game, but hopefully again the fans, they're staying patient now. I've seen a big difference. Maybe 3-4 months ago, that we were maybe one each, but they're staying right behind the team now, and that's helping the players big style.
We do this, Gordon. You get certain periods in a season where you look at a couple of games, maybe a block, and say, okay, if they can come through that, then they're really looking good, and then, you know, you do it again down the line, whether it's some tricky away games or, you know, some tough, but the head-to-head against Celtic's maybe a bit different, and that was a while ago. But it's sort of hard to ignore that, isn't it? Who's the one form team in Scotland that Rangers could face right now?
Hearts.
Is Hearts. And apart from Celtic Park, notwithstanding recent difficulties, where is possibly the hardest place that you could go? Yeah. You'd be looking at Tynecastle Rugby Park. So you can see why that block, very small block, two games, all within the space of 4 days, could really, really... See, give a clear indication of what's going to happen.
I totally agree, the two fixtures, and you can talk about Hearts' form, you can talk about they've got the probably best striker in form in the league, no doubt about that. You talk about Kilmarnock, but you look at Rangers, who have hit the top of the league, they're in great form, every player's playing well, he's getting a tune out of most of them, His substitutions, his changes are all working for him. So Rangers going into these two games are in the best place they've ever been for a long, long while. For me, is can they now go and kick on? Can they put that pressure on Celtic for Sunday? Can they handle the pressure of being the leaders, which is great to be? People say, well, you know, how's it going to affect them? They've got to embrace that. They've got to say, right, seeing Saturday, we've got to win 3 points. Whether it's a scrappy 1-0, 2-1, whatever it may be, get 3 points and say to Celtic, right, over to you. We'll deal with Kilmarnock on Wednesday, whatever it may be. I just think Rangers are in a better place just now to handle Hearts and Forum Rugby Park.
We obsess a bit too much at times, Mark. I think about scheduling, like TV plays a part. Sometimes one of them's going to play first, the other one has to follow. It's the same every year, or different variations of it. We're kind of used to it. However, specifically just the way it's played out recently, do you think it is beneficial to Rangers given that they go first this weekend?
Oh, without doubt. You'd always rather play first, get it out of the way, do your job, and then sit back in the Sunday with your feet up and hope whoever the opposition was playing against would do you a favour. So I don't think anybody, any players would have changed their mind in that. I think everybody will still be firmly of the same thought.
Thank you very much to Andy on the line. Quick, that was a very quick first hour. It means it's already time for us to do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
There's something in that though. We're talking about the pressure of being at the top of the league, the pressure to get it over the line, the pressure to really nail that achievement. It is true, because the Pundits are aiming for their 100th win of the season.
Somebody
they had
last
the chance
night.
To do it on Tuesday. Charlie Mulgrew lost it. They had the chance to do it last night. Jim Duffy lost it.
No surprise.
The Pundits have only had
tonight.
The Pundits have only had one victory this week, and it was a narrow tiebreaker victory for Andy Halliday on Monday. So I think the pressure's getting to them. They're chasing their 100th win, and you could be the latest person to spoil the party. 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. They are currently arguing because Mark Wilson claims he has run a 5k on the treadmill recently in the last week or so. In what time?
18:29.
I am unbelievably impressed by that. But you just don't believe him.
No, because I went over to the treadmill.
He started putting up while I was doing it. I had to say him, I'm going to throw up. Stop touching
Mark
it.
Mark strikes me as an honest guy. He's not going to make that up, because it's that's very impressive.
I know. I'm going to make it. I've got it recorded on my phone here.
Yeah, so that you
run
can
that
find.
Past me again.
Aye. Where are
5 kilometres in
18 minutes 29, was it?
Well, like
I got it last Monday. Last Monday I got 5k. Oh no, sorry, that's 18 minutes 40 there. 5k, if you see. 18:40.
I'll let you away with an extra 20 seconds.
18:39. I knocked a second off it the following time.
That's impressive,
that's quite,
by the way.
Is that quite?
Yes.
There. There's the evidence.
Sorry,
Gordon,
Mark, I believe you.
No, you don't believe me. You've doubted me now.
Where was that in your heyday?
I was good at just running on a treadmill.
That's a guy who was injured so much that he spent a lot of time in the treadmill.
And you know what was great? The treadmills at Lennoxtown overlooked the pitch. So I saw loads of training and loads of.
But you were staying inside.
I wasn't allowed to train.
I hate praising you too. It makes me feel dirty, but I'm impressed by that.
Thanks. I'll get.
You're not 40 this year as well.
I'm trying to get it down to below what? 18 minutes.
Are
by
you
40
this year?
Aye, 40.
40 chocolate knees, and he's knocking.
Is that your? Is that your PB?
18:39 is my PB. I like that. We've slipped into running chat here.
Yeah,
I think running speak.
I think like sort of pro rata 40 chocolate knees. I think he's putting you to shame. I think you need to do some.
What, do a 5k
physical
How long
activity?
Do you think you could do a 5k in at your age?
What are you doing?
18:39.
18. Probably 19
an hour
and a
half.
20.
I'd love to see
I'd
that.
Just like to see him run.
I never ran
on a treadmill.
Played. Never mind now.
I know. I've never seen you run before.
I was a good runner, mate.
I've never seen him run. Anyway, let's runner. Play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Keep the calls coming. Your reaction to Joe Hart's retirement. Any thoughts on the title race? And I am looking at you, Motherwell fans. A strange day where it was revealed Stuart Kettlewell had a contract extension triggered months ago, but no one seemed to know about it out with the club. So get your thoughts in on that right now if you can. In the meantime, Gareth is on Beat the Pundit. How's it going, Gareth?
Going good. It's going good, how are we?
Not bad. Now, it says you work at the Morton ticket office.
Yes.
Have you ever played this before?
No, I've not. That would have been Mark.
Yeah, do you remember? I feel like I remember that. Someone called from the Morton ticket office. How did Mark do? Did he win?
No, I think he did terribly, so I'm here to try and do better.
Try and boost results for the Morton ticket office.
He must know his football involved with that ticket office.
What do you mean?
He might just be good at admin.
I'm not selling tickets. I'm not in any way trying to do down Gareth's occupation, he's not a professional football quizzer. He works in the ticket office.
I know, but he'll know. He's in.
You ask him the price of the tickets or the barcodes, and he'll.
Yeah, but he's in amongst.
Well, they've now had 2,000 home ticket sales for the Scottish Cup quarter final.
Did you know that?
Got that off the top of my head.
Is that right, Gareth? The ticket sales going well?
That is correct, yes. The sales have been going extremely well.
Can't believe we're going to have to talk about Morton in the Scottish Cup. Gordon Dale. I'm just getting over it anyway, Gareth.
That's right, they put you out.
We'll toss the coin. If it's heads, it'll be Mark Wilson.
This is a big night.
Or Mo Farah, as he's trying to rebrand himself. Yes. And tails, it will be Gordon Dale. A rematch, if you like, for the Motherwell Morton thing. Try and get them back.
Yeah, sure, go.
As tails.
God, I could get the 100th.
You're going for the 100th win for the pundits this season.
Come on, a dazzler.
Are you ready, Gareth?
Yes.
Good man. Let's give Gordon Dale some greatest hits radio in his ear hole, and that way he can't hear what we're saying. So, Gareth, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Let's do it. Your time starts now. Jamie Carragher's son is on loan at which Scottish club?
Inverness.
At what club did Derek McInnes start his managerial career?
I will pass.
How many games are played in the Scottish Championship each season?
36.
Who are the only club Rangers have drawn with in the league this season?
Pass.
Which former Celtic manager also made the most appearances for the club?
Neil Lennon.
Which club are the oldest in the Premiership?
Rangers.
Who do Scotland men's team play next?
Cyprus.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon Dale. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
That's what you call a mixed bag.
Well, do you know what? I feel like these questions are tailor-made to a man who knows the Championship.
Oh,
anyway,
no.
30 seconds start.
I think we've not got one.
Are you ready?
No. Yeah, go.
Your time starts now. Jamie Carragher's son is on loan at which Scottish
Inverness.
Club? At what club did Derek McInnes start his managerial career?
St. George's.
How many games are played in the Scottish Championship each season?
36.
Who are the only club Rangers have drawn with in the league this season?
Hibs, don't know.
Which former Celtic manager also has made the most appearances for the club?
Former Celtic manager, Tommy Burns.
What club are the oldest in the Premiership?
Dundee.
Okay. Gareth, how's it feeling after that? What do you think?
I think I've had an absolute stinker, I'll be honest.
Yes!
I don't think there's that much in it. Anyway, Jamie Carragher's son. Bear in mind, this is the 100th win of the season.
Come on, I need this. I'd be so chuffed.
I've had a terrible week. And you are, with no disrespect, absolutely not the man when it comes to Beat the Pundit. So, Jamie Carragher's son, on loan at Inverness, both got it. Derek McInnes started his managerial career at St Johnstone, one up to the Dazzler.
Oh, come on.
I mean, if ever somebody was going to know how many games were played in the Championship, it's the man who sells the tickets.
Yeah.
He was going to know. And I'm really annoyed because you've got a league table in front of you.
Oh, do you think I could calculate?
I saw you staring at it. Listen, it's
what was your answer?
36.
Yes.
Good shout, that.
It's valid. I'm not holding it against you, but I think that's how you knew the answer.
I didn't.
The only club Rangers have drawn in the league this season, Aberdeen,
sure
Gordon
is.
Dale.
Sure is
the former Celtic manager with the most appearances is Billy McNeil.
Oh, how could I forget?
Kilmarnock are the oldest in the Premiership.
Am I trouble?
None
here?
Of them right.
Mantiga.
You get none of them right.
Oh, no, you're building this up. See if I've lost my 100th.
Gareth didn't get any of them right.
Yes!
However, Gareth got one more question than you.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Who do the Scotland men's team play next?
You wouldn't have got that.
No.
The answer is the Netherlands. Gareth said Cyprus.
Oh, yes, Gareth.
I'm devastated, Gareth.
That's why you sell tickets and I'm in the studio. See you later. Gareth, that's 100th win for the pundits. Do you know that?
I'm going to get absolutely stinking tomorrow.
Oh, and it was the main man.
Hard lines, Gareth. All the best. Catch you later.
What was the final score for 100th?
Rubbish.
Where's the celebrations?
The 100th. No! You can't be giving him that for a 3-2 win. No.
It's the 100th. It's
Chris, rubbish.
Cut that off.
Some of your answers there as well. It's gone to pop.
What else you got in that sound booth?
I had to be one of us, mate.
Well, I was surprised it was you.
What do you mean?
Well, you got, how many of those did you get wrong for?
Yeah. So,
wasn't it a vintage performance?
Have I been through them quickly?
You just came up against a guy that didn't know it.
I'll tell you what, Billy McNeil, I can't believe I never get Billy.
Big Billy, yeah.
Going into tonight, he had one win in his last five. That's how bad he was.
Yeah.
Who's got the 100th in the bag?
I know.
Who produced for the pundits? Dazzler. I'll celebrate the goal.
Thank you, the amount of people who's heard that whispered in their ear. Dazzler.
I'd honestly rather not. I have to say.
He's 100.
01419511025. Anything to stop Gordon Dale whispering into that mic, if you could, whether it is reaction to Joe Hart's retirement, whether it is the title race generally, whether it is that Motherwell Stuart Kettlewell contract story. I'd like to get stuck into that at some point on 01419511025. So please get your calls into us if you can, please, right now. You can tweet us as well, of course, at Clyde SSB. On Twitter, Gandalf says, what a great example to any young player. Joe Hart never gave up, done it all in England, won the lot up here. Wish him all the best on his retirement. Celtic Da says, it's a real shame. He's looked good this year in comparison to previous seasons. Who will the replacement be? Looking like a rebuild for next season, regardless if we win the league or not. Celtic fit by sad news. Another season in him. Over the piece, he's been excellent. Experience, leadership, stability. It feels like there is something really interesting in the timing of that. He's probably had his best few games.
Yeah.
Is that because the rest of the team hasn't been playing well and he's stood out? I don't know. It's been a weird time. The team started well, got good results. He was getting a bit of stick. The team's tailed off and he's done well and announced his retirement.
Well, it has seemed in recent weeks, the more involvement he's had, the more concentrated he's been, the more crucial saves he's made. You know, it was at those periods where Celtic were always on the front foot attacking, and those, you know, small moments in the game where he was called into action, it was almost like he hadn't done anything for that long in the game that he was prone to a bit of a lapse. But I think this season he's shown what a good goalkeeper he is in terms of shot stopping and pulling off crucial saves at crucial times. I don't think he's coming for crosses or playing with his feet has improved anymore. But look, I think he will be a loss. Going over old ground, it's such a hard position to fill and get right. I don't agree with some of the views out there that it should be a young goalkeeper, unless you're absolutely exceptional and they're hard to come by. So I do think it will be a mid to late 20s, maybe even in the 30-year-old bracket that will come in.
So you don't think because someone called earlier about Kelleroos, we mentioned it's the same kind of profile, if you like, as Benjamin Sigrist. That doesn't mean it will or won't work. Are there any others closer to home? Who's the best keeper out with Glasgow in the league this season?
St Johnson boy's good.
Mitov?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a good goalkeeper.
Better than Roos?
I think the
current
form.
I mean, I'm also kind of ruling out, you know, like Craig Gordon, that situation. Yeah. Or is Xander Clark the next best?
No, not for me.
I think
Mitov. Yeah. Just with the saves, you know, he's had plenty practice of action. And that sometimes makes you stand out. Probably why Sigrist stood out. You know, he's been called upon every couple of minutes. Whether when you're a Celtic goalkeeper or a Rangers goalkeeper, it's long periods of that game that you don't have to do anything. It's those moments that you need to spring into life, and concentration has to be a maximum.
I don't think they'll get into the Scottish market. I think they'll go down the same.
I'm not saying they will. I was just curious as to who you thought was the best.
Yeah, seeing the Joe Hart thing, I think he's quite right to. I think timing's everything. I think the timing's right for him, right? Because he's come out, he's announced his retirement. You quite rightly said he's playing well, right? He's probably the best Celtic player just now. Playing very well.
I meant in the last couple of weeks, though. Yeah. It wasn't meant to be a huge sweeping statement.
No, but he's not going to. I never thought that Joe Hart would be Celtic's number one goalkeeper next season. I really don't. And I think if the Celtic fans are chewing their heart out there. They believe that as well, because they want it changed in the summer. They want it replaced, sorry, in the January window. They want it a replacement in. Joe Hart, I think, has been terrific for Celtic. I think it's all about timing, and I think he's timed it well. Now, it's up to him and Celtic to see if they can get out in a high. And it's got to be difficult because of the situation across the city of Rangers, playing so well, and the manager and everything concerned. So it'll be an interesting, exciting last couple of months in his Celtic career.
For there you go. If you weren't involved in a small debate, who's the other best goalkeeper, if you like, in the Scottish Premiership? Give us your names. Stephen's a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Much appreciated.
A pleasure. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, listen, first of all, with Big Joe's impending retirement, and, listen, I think he's been a great servant. He's been a real success up here. Probably raised a few eyebrows when he first came up. But the last couple of games especially, the last couple of weeks, even though the results haven't been what we were looking for, you know, he really kept us in a lot of the games. And listen, sometimes he's got the odd mistake in him, like most goalkeepers, but I think since he came up here when Ange started his revolution at the start, you know, I think he's done really, really well, and he's been a big player. And listen, he'll be a big player for Celtic to replace alongside an already team that needs a few other replacements in it, I might add, you know.
Yeah, wondering already what the rebuild is going to look like. Stephen, any thoughts on who that will be? Or I know that's asking a lot months out, but even what type do you think will go? Another sort of experienced goalkeeper from down south? Do you think it will be that sort of thing, trying and almost repeat the success?
I don't think so. I think Celtic will be looking to probably get somebody about 25, 26. I don't think they'll go for a more experienced. I think they'll go for their normal remit, like development. Mm-hmm. But I think somebody that's coming to the end of their contract for the Championship, mate, that would surprise me, because that's sort of about the MO for Celtic at this moment in time.
What are you thinking overall then, in terms of where your team are at? There's been a lot said this week about the title race and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, listen, for the first time in a long time, we're definitely in a title race. I phoned back about a month ago and I'd said, this was before we dropped the final, like, 4 points, and were 2 draws previous there, and I said we were in a title race, whether we believed it or not. We're probably paying the price for a poor transfer window in January, which I know it's a hard window to try and get guys in, but I think the Burnaby situation has come home to roost. I can think of 2 or 3 real calamitous errors that he's made that has cost goals and has cost points. That was a position that we had looked to try and get cover for when Greg Taylor was injured. I just think the Celtic board have kind of took their eye off the ball. You know, Rangers have been slowly going about their business. You know, Celtic have been in front with this unassailable lead, and Rangers have just gone about their business. They may not win the prettiest of games, but they win their games. And unfortunately for Celtic have got a loss of form, caught together with some big players still missing. And when you kind of get the results at Parkhead and you're getting boozed, that's a problem. And I would say, in my opinion, Celtic have got maybe 1 or 2 mistakes left in them in this league, and then it'll be over. So, I mean, I think it's that serious. I think Rangers have showed enough, you know, team. They've got good team spirit in there. The players that everybody laughed and joked about, they weren't doing much, they're starting to score goals. And they're playing like a team, and ultimately at the end of the season, the best team will win the league. That's what it is. You know, that's where we are. As Celtic fans, sometimes we don't want to admit it. And for me, all the previous stuff that we've won doesn't count. It's all about this season. It's the same for Rangers. Nobody cares about last season, where you go, what you won. It's all about this season, and then next season after that will be the exact same. That's just how it is in Scotland.
Yeah,
I'm afraid.
To do the amateur psychology bit, Mark. And Stephen mentions booze at Celtic Park. Obviously, playing at home for Celtic and Rangers tends to be a big advantage. You then hear that bit, but sometimes the crowd can make you a bit nervy, so on. There's not much between it to really make a point either way. Celtic have drawn 3 and lost 1 at home, which isn't great, obviously, by their usual standards. They've drawn 2 and lost 1 away. So, I don't know. Right now, if you were there, you weigh up the big pitch, the surroundings, all that stuff, and the boost that it gives you playing at Celtic Park versus maybe a difficult crowd. You know, would you rather go away to Motherwell, or is that too much of a stretch?
No, listen, I don't think that's a bad thing for Celtic at the minute. Celtic Park can be quite a difficult place to play at the best of times because the expectations are so high, and so they should be. And I've said in this past week that when you get signed for Celtic, that is the price you pay. You know what you're walking into, you know why you've been signed for your ability, but also how you deal with the pressure. Now, everything can be a sunny day at Celtic Park where you win 5-0 and it's a great day out for the family. You really need to work for it. And people think it's easy playing for Celtic and Rangers. It isn't. And that's what makes the top players the top players. But this Celtic squad have found it difficult. You can see that. You can see with the way they're playing that there is players in that squad that doesn't like that pressure on their shoulders or can't perform. So looking at this weekend, it might not be a bad thing for them just to go away from home and try and alleviate some of that pressure with a decent performance at Motherwell.
I mean, look at the top players that all play for Celtic in those famous hoops. What's that sitting in front of you? What was delivered? I forgot about that. Something delivered to the reception.
It's just an old programme, yeah, for attention of Mark Wilson.
That photo there, get that photo. I can't see the first one, that big wheel.
Yeah,
Zoom in on that. This was sent into reception.
FAO Mark Wilson, it says. Mark of a true Celt. Emotional night at paradise. For Mark Wilson. Are you crying in that?
You were. Tell me you didn't.
That was my last game for Celtic, and I was being taken off.
So they gave you the old captain's armband?
No, that was I was a leader and I was a skipper.
Either that or he brought your own.
The actual captain has his band on. I pulled it out of my sock.
So this is the Celtic view from your last game. What was your last game again?
St Johnson, maybe?
Mate, tell me you weren't walking off the park crying.
No.
How many Celtic fans were joking?
A fly flew in my eye just like at that point.
How many Celtic fans were celebrating that night?
Standing ovation. Standing ovation. Oh, it was wonderful.
Right.
What a night.
Thanks to Stephen. Celtic's next game against Motherwell. There's your transition. What about that contract business with Stuart Kettlewell? Give us a call right now whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One. Live. Celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, the first act's been announced for Clyde One Live on Friday. It's the 31st of May, and if you've not heard, it is Amy McDonald. She's sold over 12 million songs, 1 billion streams. She's sold out the Hydro by herself and now part of her 50th celebrations. You have to listen to these two banging on about their CV. That's quite a CV, that. She's going to play some of her biggest hits at the Hydro, and you can get your tickets now by heading to Clyde1.com. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dell, incidentally, will be there. I don't know if that puts you off or adds to the incentive. And she's just the first artist to be announced. The next act we're going to announce next Wednesday on Bowie at Breakfast, just after 8. However, if you want to secure your place before the tickets sell out, go to Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dell is here, so is Mark Wilson, and you can still get in touch on 0141 951 1025. Don't forget, we're going to give away the tickets to Ladies Day at the races very soon as well. But in the meantime, let me give this question to the guys.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride. Call now to score a free no-obligation quote.
Yes, not around for long is still to come, but it's the full-time teaser first. It's, I actually think, for two men of your capabilities, I do actually think it is, I have to say.
Well, 100th winner.
Thanks to Grant for sending it in. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com, remember. That's like the aim of the game. You try and come up with a question, email it to fulltime at Clyde1.com. I'll try my best to use it on the show, and we see if the pundits can answer your question between like now and the end of the show. So tonight it's, since Mark Wilson, six players have been signed by Celtic directly from Dundee United. Can you name them? Now, it's only six, and well, I do think it's easy. So let me...
Wee boy in the middle of park. Okay. Wee boy in the middle of park. Flood. Hull of Flood.
No.
Armstrong, Mackay, Stephen.
Both of them are on it. So we'll leave it there because you've only got four to get. No Charlie Mulgrew, no Willow Flood, but Gary Mackay, Stephen,
Seagrass,
and Stuart. I told you we weren't doing any more at the moment. So if you can't listen, then it's. We'll get the rest of the answers between now and the end of the show. Fulltime@Clyde1.com to submit a question. And my big thanks, as always, to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out on the teaser as well. Right, 01419511025. Motherwell fans, you might want to get involved in this because we don't really get stories of this nature that often. So Motherwell have had to come out today and clear up some confusion over Stuart Kettlewell's contract, right? They've stated that the manager's current deal runs to the summer of 2025, next summer. Now, this came up at the AGM last night, where it became apparent, more than apparent, that some fans, or all fans really, were unsure about Stuart Kettlewell's future because they thought he was out of contract at the end of this season. When he took over, incidentally, pretty much exactly a year ago, the article went up and it was announced that his deal would run until May 2024, end of the season. Mm-hmm. However, because he kept the team up in the Premiership and avoided relegation, that triggered an extra year. Mm-hmm. But nobody knew about it, apparently. I mean, I'm sure Stuart Kettlewell knew and Motherwell knew. But yeah, they've had to basically come out and issue a statement today, just wanting to clarify it, wanting to apologise to the fans and Stuart for not properly communicating. It's just a weird one, isn't it? It's just, like I say, it's more the rarity of it. How often does that sort of thing happen? Just a communication error?
I've never heard that. I honestly have never heard that. I was surprised when I read it today. And interesting, you know, I would really hope that a couple of Motherwell fans phone in for a reaction to see what they think. Now, is it such a massive deal? Because there's always clauses in certain managers' or players' contracts, but usually that people know about it. You should know when your manager's contract's up to, especially Motherwell. Motherwell, you know, the fans put a lot of money into that club, keep that club going. I think they deserve to know. Now, you can understand the board have come out and said, look, we hold our hands up, an apology is required. We should have communicated a lot better. But it really is schoolboy for me. I've got
is there not a fan on the board? No, at Motherwell?
Yeah, well, I think there's like representatives from the Welsh Society obviously go to, yeah, I think
so essentially. Surely they should have known.
But I genuinely don't think it's ever just really been communicated in any sort of meaningful way. Well, there's bound to be reasons that when you look at them, you think, right, ugh, understandable. I think looking at the time frame when Motherwell secured that safety, it was probably about the time that Alan Burrows left. I think my time frame's close on that. I'll go and double check. So you're probably looking at a bit of a chaotic time for the club and moving parts and, you know, who's doing what. But that's... those might be the circumstances, but now a year on, when you look back on it, it's just bizarre that the fans didn't know that the manager's under contract till the end of the season.
Yeah, I suppose it's not that big a deal if you're Stuart Kettlewell or your Motherwell, because you both knew where you stood. But I find it surprising if there were members of the Welsh Society who are privy to board meetings that they wouldn't know and then relay that information. Of course, we live in a world where clubs tweet everything out and it's about how you communicate with the fan base, but if you're this kind of fan ownership or whatever you want to call it that's integrated into the boardroom, then surely that's on you to share.
But here's sort of a twist in it about a little bit, Mark. If people will look at that and think, right, okay, Motherwell are down there, they've not had the greatest season. I know that you can look at
even that. I think you're going on a very kind of granular level. Sorry, quickly, like, it wasn't public, it wasn't made public. So even if a fan knew or whatever, the club at no point made it public that the manager had triggered a contract.
Yeah, so then you wonder, have they done that on purpose?
No, this looks like an oversight. Why would you do it on purpose?
Because there might have been ill feeling that the fans didn't want Stuart Kettlewell.
No, we just kept them up.
Yeah, I know, but
No.
Listen, hold on a minute. I remember last year, we took calls that people wanted Stuart Kettlewell no longer in the job as well.
When he kept them up last season.
Yeah.
Remember, they finished the season brilliantly.
Well, maybe I'm getting that mixed up.
I think you are.
Wait, this season. But, well, why would they? How could that be an oversight then? But going back to my oversight by who? Surely the fans on the board are the club.
No, there's a couple of fan representatives. The club's got a CEO and a chairman and like everybody else. And the club at no point communicated that publicly.
You would like to think that
your analysis
would know.
Of this is bizarre. I think you're looking in the wrong direction.
You've got a better insight. How's the Motherwell fans accepting this?
They're focused on the communication of it, clearly.
Yeah. Because if you look at the other picture, if Motherwell are sitting up there in third place, fourth place, and there's other clubs looking at their manager, blah, 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 and there's a year's contract, obviously extension triggered, you'd be over the moon.
I think that's by the by, really.
So you're just talking about the communication. Yeah,
I think that's clearly the main issue. Because was our manager under contract the next season and no one knew about it? That's more what it is. Yeah, of course, the jury's still going to be out. There will be fans right now thinking, I mean, because look at where Motherwell are on the table. Mm-hmm. So I think there's clearly part of
that. But is it not concerning that If that the whole purpose of fans being in the boardroom, they want part of big decisions in the way the club run. That's one of the biggest decisions. So either how could they not know at that level, or if they didn't know, why wouldn't they communicate?
A club's comms strategy isn't going to be for the two fans on the board to start texting all their mates. No, but the bottom line is the club have never officially announced.
But I don't know if you're getting where I'm coming from. They must have been part of the decision
to what?
To renew the contract, to agree to that contract with a clause in it.
But that's what I'm saying. Even if they did, and I don't know, your concern here is that one or two fans didn't go and start texting everybody and telling them. The club never officially communicated it. That's how you would get a message out, isn't it?
Yeah. But with,
I feel it's a really strange fascination you've got with that.
It's not really.
You should have checked your contract at Brecon, mate.
I don't understand why you're not getting what I'm meaning here.
I do. I just don't.
If the fans knew about it,
that's what you're saying.
Then they're there to represent the fans.
What fans?
But whoever's representing them on the board.
So what, that one individual goes and puts a statement out?
Not put a statement out.
The onus would be on the club, isn't it?
What's the contract situation with the manager?
In the modern day world, I know what you're saying. A fan on that board knows that the matter. He can come out. He can put on a.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. The fans can hardly say the board and the club are to blame when they're part of the board. They've got representatives on the board.
That's not how the comm strategy of a club should work. I think quite clearly. Read the reaction to it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mark, listen, I'm trying not to be rude about it. I understand it. I just don't think it's that great a point, right? You want me to point that out how many times?
I think you've got an argument. Keep it going. You're doing well.
Anyway,
don't choke now.
It doesn't matter. Stuart Kettlewell knew where he was. The club knew where he was.
Do you think that's all that matters? I think it's a bit weird.
Look, you've dealt at boardroom level. Don't back down now. Many times you've been in AGMs.
Who does it matter to the fans?
Yeah, they're quite an important part.
Who've got representatives on the board?
We're talking thousands of fans here. I have no idea.
Because surely they're the voice of the fans on the board.
We need that Celtic view and give the rest of his piece.
But now you're trying to be patronising, which is annoying me.
I know, exactly. Don't get back in.
Because that's rude. Understand what I mean? Yeah. See if I'm totally wrong. Can you not understand what I mean?
I think basically you're asking why is it important to the fans. It just sort of is, you know, that way you want to feel like you're in touch with everything that's happening.
But then you're saying that's not the way it works. That's stupid. The fans surely, unless I've got total wrong grasp of this, which you might say I have, and I think Partick Thistle are the same. They've got fan representative on the board to deal with big decisions.
Right? You don't need to take my word for it, because on Twitter I'm just looking at the replies to Motherwell's story. John Gerrard's going poor communication. Stand no ambition, no direction with the leadership. This is shocking. Irrespective of your view of Stuart Kettlewell, this is amateur. That's all it is. It's that feeling that like, how did this happen and it wasn't publicly known? I mean, I didn't know about it. You didn't know. Do you know what I mean?
I know the board have come out and published an apology. So, what is the reason for it?
That's what I'm saying. How can there be a reason? There isn't. When you just have an oversight,
we stuck the contract in the drawer and forgot all about it,
and you just don't do something.
It was brought up, major.
What sort of reason could there be? There isn't one. It just wasn't communicated.
Daz says there, is the fans angry or
no?
Did they see it as a way out for Kettlewell if this season doesn't go well?
There was obviously a bit of that, like, we'll wait and see what happens come the end of the season. But I think the main gripe is, for the 10th time, the communication of it. That's like, how did this happen? How did it take for someone to ask at the AGM?
who is a PR person. Let's show them under the bus.
That's the thing, they don't really have, like, I mean, they're like media guys, but bear in mind, this is a club that had the chief executive that was leaving to Aberdeen, and there wasn't going to be a replacement, apparently. He wasn't going to leave, sorry, until a replacement was found. There still has been no replacement. Alan Burrows has been at Aberdeen for a while.
That's a big
so that's the point. There are.
Gordon, were you telling me that, that wouldn't have been raised if someone hadn't questioned it on Monday night? Well, sorry, when was the AGM? Was it Tuesday, Monday? Would that not have been raised? So that there's still been unknown to everyone concerned.
Yeah, but like that's what, this is the whole point. Yeah. That's why it's a big deal. That's what I'm trying to explain.
Absolutely bizarre.
So like genuinely, by the sounds of it, no, it just wasn't communicated to anybody really.
I'd have loved to have been at that. When's your manager's contract? Oh, I forgot to tell. on the subject of that, John, get that paper out. We'll see when his contract's up.
It's a strange one. But like you said, then eventually it will feed into today. It's all about the communication, which I've tried to explain. But then it is going to feed into whether he's the right guy for the job ultimately going forward. But that will depend because Motherwell are clearly in a state of. Don't really know. Like
Under Taylor Swift,
exactly. She'd be dishing out the contract.
Oh, she'd have sorted that right out.
Like, well, it's quite odd that that's came. You know, when was that? 4 weeks ago. When they're putting a communication like that.
That's the point. There's clearly a bigger. Yeah. There's a bigger issue as to how this can happen in terms of structure, communication strategy, communication department, like the way these things are operating. You know, it's a bit of a worrying sign.
Of course, a football club now with social media and everything's tweeted positively when you get a good result, it's out there right away. Yes, of course, the manager, he's a man at the top of the tree. Fans want to see, if you've got a promising manager and the fans were on board when he was doing well at the end of that season, they maybe see, look, we want to keep this guy for a few years in case anybody comes in with him so we can get compensated. But the way it is just now, I guess the fans are looking at it through the lens of, have we got this guy for another year? Or is it a swift exit if we start going south on the table?
And next up, the small matter of Celtic. You buy into that old sort of theory, like good time to get them? Or no. Is it wounded animal? All these cliches that you usually hear.
I think if Rangers win, I'm giving Celtic a bit of credit here. I think if Rangers won at the weekend and put that gap to five, I think you maybe see a massive reaction for Celtic because as much as you can criticise them, and listen, they're coming in for a lot of criticism for the manager, the board, to the players, and rightly so at times because they've set such high standards. I think there's still enough character and ability in that dressing room to go, we can't afford to lose this today. Rangers have, you know, put that five-point gap in between us. We've got to respond. We've got to go out there and show why we've won so many trophies. I know there's a lot of new players in there, but they've still got the McGregors of this world, the Riley's in there as well. Carter Vickers could be a big boost for them back at the weekend. I think there's enough character for Celtic and determination for the manager who's come under such criticism to beat Motherwell.
The only thing is the previous two fixtures, 1-1 at Celtic Park. That's Motherwell score late, but remember at Fir Park, nothing happened for until about 85 minutes, and we had three goals. So they know what they're up against. It's going to be a tough game.
Right, let's give you. Oh, I've been looking forward to this all week. Well, I've enjoyed this. Let's play Not For Long. This is Mark Wilson's first experience of not around for long. Gordon DL dealt with
what's
it Tuesday. All this week on Clyde One, we've got tickets for Ladies' Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National. It's Friday the 19th of April, Ayr Racecourse, and you can buy tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk. However, we've got a pair to give away right now, and all you have to do is tell us which player who was not around for long.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pun now.
And
here is your clue. I'm the only player to have joined Celtic from Real Madrid, but I only managed 22 games. I scored against Rangers and a hat-trick against St Mirren. I now live in Las Vegas and apparently make lots of money out of investments and poker.
We
that's
know
so
who that
easy.
Is.
01419511025. Who wasn't around for long? Call before the end of this break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means we are giving away tickets for this. They did this last night, caught me off guard, mixed up the music, went from Ladies Night in the first part to this.
I came in from training last night and I heard this music and I walked in the house humming it. We hadn't said to me, why are you humming that?
That's a Magnificent Seven.
Is that Black Beauty?
Yeah. What is it?
She says you're humming the Black Beauty soundtrack.
Magnificent Seven. I thought that was Joe Brenner coming into town in his horse.
Anyway, all this week on Clyde One, we've got tickets for Ladies Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National. All you had to do was tell us which player are we trying to describe here, a player that was not around for long. See what we did there. Just to let you know, the lines are now closed. I can see lots of you trying to get through, so thank you so much, but let's leave it there for tonight. We're saving something special for tomorrow though. I am the only player to have joined Celtic from Real Madrid but managed 22 games, scored against Rangers and a hat-trick against St Mirren. I now live in Las Vegas and make millions out of investments in poker and once accosted Mark Wilson at the swimming pool
Vegas.
Tom is on the line. How are you, Tom?
I'm not bad, thank you. Yourself?
All good. Well, who was that player that wasn't around for long?
Is it Thomas Gravison?
It's Thomas Gravison. You are the winner tonight, Tom. You're off to the Ladies' Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National, Friday 19th of April. Happy with that?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
Good man. Hang on the line. The producers will get your details. And like I say, we're saving something special for tomorrow night as well. Very generous this week.
That's good. It's a good day, though.
When they have competitions.
I mean, naturally, no trade secret here. They've all been quite generous.
Yeah,
don't want to be here like 40 minutes later trying to get who am I, like you guys on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Tommy Gravison.
Wonder what he's up to now.
Which hotel pool was that? So you were just there on holiday, genuinely just walk like minding your own business.
I didn't know he was there. I was going to the stag do, John Kennedy and Stephen McManus stag do, and the MGM up the back, Wet Republic or something it was called, and there he was. He was lying. He wasn't a part of the stag do. He was the other side of the complex at the other pool. And just a big shout. I thought, I cannot believe all the people. This guy, he was the worst guy to have in front of you playing in the midfield. Gordon Strachan, for a centre midfielder, Gordon Strachan decided to play him right mid too often for my liking in front of me.
He's had some careers, you know.
Oh, Tommy, he was a good player. when his mind wasn't distracted at golf ball throwing competitions with Lee Naylor or playing pool.
Who won the golf ball throwing competition?
I think Lee Naylor.
Seriously? But he was. My money would have been on Gravison all day long.
But yeah. Neil's had a long throw, remember?
Oh, of course.
And that's what riled Tommy Gravison, says, I can beat you at throwing. And then he couldn't beat him at throwing the ball, so he says, I'll beat you at golf ball throwing. So he came in with a bag of golf balls.
Who suspects that they're good? How do you know you're good at that without having done it a lot? What adult has thrown that many golf balls that they would be confident that they could?
He certainly backed himself
and still lost.
And he lost, aye. So he must have saved all his good luck up for Vegas.
You wouldn't be throwing away your expensive golf balls, would you? Yeah, so where is this, at Lennoxtown?
No, it was down at the back of Barrowfield, incidentally, where they're starting breaking ground. Aye, right there.
I'll be down tomorrow picking up a few.
Maybe we could introduce that. Do you think we could start going round the clubs and see which club has the longest golf ball thrower in the league?
That'd be good, a different wee challenge.
Who's got the longest throw
currently in the league?
Yeah. I watched somebody the other day. Is it St Johnstone or something?
I'm not sure. There are loads of absolute
running
standouts
over the other side of Barton.
The boy from Morton, Strap.
That's who it was. Strap. Yeah.
He's got a big chuck.
He could be top golf ball thrower.
Yeah. He'd be good. I need to measure and tape it for him.
I'd be looking for some of the wee widows that went about throwing a lot of things.
The sideway technique.
That technique that they were so good at. There's always a few in the local schools that real art form.
They do specialise in
throwing stuff.
Art form, yeah. Chucking stuff at people.
So good at it though, eh?
They're very good at aiming as well.
No, but depending on the setting, it could be a rubber in the classroom, then you go outside, it's something a bit more violent, and it's just that technique, just...
Yeah, they've got it. Yeah,
I'm very impressed. Right, anyway, just childhood memories. Back to the teaser, how are you
faring? I've got them all.
Yeah, it's a bit easier, this one. Since Mark Wilson, 6 players have been signed by Celtic directly from Dundee United. Can you name them? You've got Mackay Stephen and Armstrong. I'll take one more each.
You said Seacrest?
Correct.
Yeah.
Take one more.
Chiefchi.
Yes.
Favourite player. Whatever happened to him? Not how he's got to make it Celtic.
I think he's still on loan.
Is he actually in still Turkey? Playing football?
Ah, he'll be in Turkey. He'll be. If I know Nadir,
he's in Turkey for it to get the teeth in the hair done.
Turkish.
He ain't playing.
If I know Nadir, he will be ripping it up in Turkey.
Yeah, the Turkish second tier or something like that.
Oh, he's got to be up near the top of the scoring charts.
He was your Burnaby.
You know what? I put all my eggs in the one basket with him. Talking about chucking eggs, I chucked them on the one basket and the basket collapsed.
He appears to be in the Turkish second division.
He was good at Dundee United.
He was brilliant at Dundee United. He was very temperamental. So he was. I remember him having a kick at one of the players on the bus on the way up to Inverness one day.
Yeah, he kicked somebody on the team bus. Kicked I think you have told that before.
Kicked him in the face. By the way, I wouldn't be surprised. He threw a sweetie off somebody's head, and the player had the audacity to turn around and say, "Gonna stop doing that." And Nadir didn't like being told not to do that, so he came down and
kicked him in the face.
I mean, from a distance, it seems like a slight overreaction.
Very much was.
Just a touch over the top.
But he played the next day, and he was good. So maybe there wasn't enough of that at Celtic. Maybe there wasn't enough.
You're trying to tell me he was like Dundee United's answer to Eric Cantona. Is that where we're going?
By the way, he was a bit. Aye, kind of like that. With the ability or the charisma or the poetry. None of that. But
just kicking.
Just that rashness. He was fine with people every day in training. Entertaining if he was on your team. Anyway, that was a Nadir Chief rabbit hole there.
He was indeed an answer to that teaser. You've got two of the last six players to be signed by Celtic directly from Dundee United since Mark Wilson. So you've got Mackay Stephen, Armstrong, Chiefchi, Sigrist.
Do you want them?
Did you say Will the Flood?
Why not? Yeah, I said Will the Flood, but I don't think he is.
Are you reading off my list that you're going to say?
Barry Robson.
Yes. Pretty easy, I think.
So let's get the last one.
Yeah. So let's get the last one.
Nailed it, yeah. That was Grant that sent that one in tonight, fulltime@clyde1.com. It's Thursday night. I feel like you're legitimately allowed to say it's nearly the weekend. Looking forward to it.
Oh, big time.
I mean, football wise, not just generally.
I always look forward to weekend, but I think this weekend's full of excitement. Good game tomorrow, Mark's team, Partick and Dunfermline. They need a result. But after that, all eyes will probably be in Ibrox to see if Rangers and Hearts. I think that'll be a terrific game. Two teams in good form. Shanklin, we can't talk highly enough of them, but the way Rangers are going about their business. I do agree with the caller. I think there's a different atmosphere now at Ibrox. I don't think after 10, 15 minutes, where it normally gets a bit uneasy if they're not producing and playing.
Certainly not after 10.
The music's on.
Oh yeah, I'm counting it down in my ears.
Incidentally, that Partick Dunfermline game was on the telly. Guys were putting up the scaffolding for the studio. They were getting you up today. I forgot to say they were constructing
any truth in the rumour that the Partick Thistle under 18s are away in Dingwall for the second week in a row tomorrow?
Second week in a row. Putting us in business with coach costs.
You could go up with him.
By the way, absolutely. You want to come up?
No chance. By the way, Avi Moore, get the boys, I'll half up. Yeah, I'll buy the chips, you buy the fish.
As long as you're back by Saturday around lunchtime, that'll be fine. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. We are back tomorrow. I wonder what Hugh Keevans has got on his mind at the end of this week. You will hear it tomorrow. And Callum Gallagher is up next. Have a good night.